On this episode of the Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery welcomes back staffing and recruitment powerhouse Lauren Jones, now the CEO and founder of Leap Consulting Solutions. Lauren has been a leader, influencer, and innovator in the staffing industry for more than 20 years, and she and Leslie discuss her unexpected career path, including her decision several years ago to leave the corporate world behind for life on a farm. She shares her fascinating story of the slow burn she felt for creating change, both in her personal and professional lives, as well as how she's pivoted during the pandemic. Leslie and Lauren also discuss Lauren's creativity in developing her personal brand, how she's learned to get comfortable with discomfort, and their shared passion for rising women up in the industry. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Lauren Jones to the Edge podcast. I guess, Lauren, I should really say actually welcome back, as you were a guest nearly 3 years ago. During that episode, Lauren, you shared an incredible story of how you pivoted from corporate life to country life in pursuit of greater work-life balance and personal fulfillment. It involved, everyone listen closely, swapping 250 pairs of shoes for 18 chickens, 15 goats, 10 sheep, 8 ducks, and 4 dogs. But Lauren, we'll leave the details up to you to share in a little bit. I'm sure those numbers have changed over the years as well. Oh my goodness. Well, we asked you back to bring us up to date. I know you've had a lot of changes, and we'd love to learn how that pivot for you worked back then, but also how it's benefited you and what you're up to today. Along your incredible journey, I can't wait to share some of the lessons that you've learned and to hear more about what you term your spark. Lauren has been a leader, influencer, and innovator in the staffing industry for more than 20 years. She's a vocal advocate for elevating women. I should know she elevates me and all of us surrounding us at any point in time that she can. She is the creative voice behind the renowned GOAT Leadership blog. She is an expert on technology and helps businesses better align their use of it with real-world goals. She's an entrepreneur, someone I am proud to call my friend. And guess what? In your spare time, Lauren, she even rescues raccoons. All right, now let's get started and hear directly from Lauren. My first question for you, Lauren, this year, everyone's life has been appended. Several years ago, you actually voluntarily appended your own life. So please tell us why you made such a monumental change. And again, I can't wait for this conversation. It's so much fun to rejoin with you here today.
Well, you know, I have such a woman crush on you. I'm so excited to be here. One of my favorite podcasts. I love how much we collaborate and elevate women. So the woman love is mutual. I'm up to, 20 goats now. We're still at 10 sheep because they're doing really well with their job. We have 5 dogs now, maybe a few more. We've got a few geese in there now. I think 2 to 4 geese. I got an egret sitting out on the pond right now. So we just come one, come all. If you have fur or feathers, please come to our farm. That's just how we are now.
You run your life with open arms, whether it be on the work front, family front, friends, or animals on the farm.
Which is a perfect segue to why I made those changes, because it's not the way I was living my life. I was very closed off. I had the wrong focus on the wrong goals, thinking that it was the material things that would satiate some sort of or level of fulfillment. And so I upended my life a few years ago because I felt this really strong sense of heaviness and suffocation and consumerism. And I had this, I don't know if it was an electric moment or an epiphany, just this slow rising, this slow burn of this lack of fulfillment, this need to want to consume less, give more. I've always been exceedingly generous, but I wasn't capitalizing on any of the things that really nurture my soul. And so, you know, I think my instinct was that geography was the problem, right? And in this upending my life, going from sort of cul-de-sac suburbia to a farm where I have to cultivate the land, I have to nurture the animals. There's so much giving that has to go on and making sure that this works, that it was this wild wild transition from personal life to professional life. And again, this burning, this rising inside that I think prepared me for a global pandemic. I felt a little more prepared than the next guy because I had already upended my life, you know, not to minimize COVID, but it was an upending for sure.
You know, I kind of gave a brief snapshot leading into this. Now you're a CEO and founder of Leap Consulting Solutions. Tell us how you went from the corporate side to the farm and new roles as you were there and working remotely and traveling less and doing different things, but still holding an executive level position. And now you're the CEO and founder of your own company.
I'm a one-man show right now, but I have plenty of people and resources supporting me, which is a phenomenal place to be. And that slow burning that happened in my personal life bled over into my professional life. And so I made a commitment to myself, and I've talked about it at RI, gave a talk about finding your spark, and it was just that for me. So in my personal life, I was feeling this significant level of fulfillment, having sort of ridding myself of some material things, living a little bit simpler, not so focused on stuff and more focused on experiences. And now I needed that in my professional life. So I made a commitment to myself that I was going to get uncomfortable. There were going to be no what ifs. I say that all the time. No what ifs. If there's a what if at the end of it, do it. Even if it makes you itch, even if it makes you scratch, if there's a what if that's going to come out of it, you should probably take a moment to experience it. And that happened in my career. I was in a perfectly great spot with a small firm in Northern California, doing what I love, building a new tech stack, creating repeatable processes. It was fantastic with an amazing group of women who I remain friends with today. But, you know, I got a call for a challenge, and it was that what if moment. And I had committed to myself. The only thing that I knew, I didn't know much, is that I was experiencing great fulfillment personally. I needed more professionally. And I said, okay, I'm going to start with no what ifs. And so when the opportunity was presented to actually go back to a former employer, I immediately said no. And then I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's going to be a what if moment here. I gave it a ton of thought, and it was a huge risk, and I decided to take the opportunity. At that same time, that burning that I've been talking about, it was getting hotter and hotter because I was getting exposed to more and more opportunity to create and impact change. But in corporate life, as we all know, there are rules, there are regulations, there's red tape, there are hoops and things you have to jump through to create change. And that little spark that I was feeling got larger and larger, and I just felt the need to make a bigger impact. And sometimes forced change is really great change. And when I was laid off very, very early on in the pandemic, I really did not take a beat. I saw this as an opportunity. You know, there are egos and emotions involved, but once, you know, you have your moment, what we call it a boohoo moment in our house. Once you have the boohoo moment, you get over the initial shock of change. I had had that burning, and I wanted a larger voice. I wanted to be free to speak my opinions, unencumbered by everything that goes on in creating global organizations. And I just needed my voice to be heard. So there was no better way but than to go out on my own.
Listen, I have to give you a lot of credit for it, Lauren. And I know we've been together along the way, talking at every step and stage and turn. And I admire you so much for taking what could have been a long boohoo moment, as you would call it, and turning it into something really remarkable. But I have to say something. So you and I both have been on many calls with Teresa Carroll, where we talk about the book, How Women Rise. And I have to give you a little bit of credit here, where you say, well, I'm just a one person show, you know, where we kind of downplay what we're doing.
I'm Lauren, minimizing, aren't I?
Minimizing it. But I do the same thing. I'll say like, oh, you know, it's just a small little agency. We've got, I don't know, 45 people and blah, blah, blah. But we work with such huge companies that I think in our minds, we minimize what we're doing. When in reality, it's really difficult to start your own company and go off on your own in some cases. And a lot of people, it's just not meant for them. But you, my friend, have really been thriving We'll talk about the personal brand you've built here in a minute, but you're in hot demand. Every other conversation I'm having, they're talking about you and your company, whether they've engaged with you or they're talking about engaging with you. You're on podcast after podcast, speaking engagements. You've really come into your own in this new role. And I'm just so thankful to be with you on that journey and watch you. It's truly an incredible solution. So tell us a little bit about Leap Consulting Solutions, because I feel like you've been able to marry your passion of what you do, what you love to do with entrepreneurship. And speaking of what if, imagine if you hadn't taken the job that you did, would you have done this? I don't know. So I'm so happy that you took that chance. So tell us, what are you doing with Leap Consulting Solutions? What should we know?
Yeah, it makes me just a skosh emotional because the difference between just doing and doing what you love, let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the difference is profound. I wake up every morning terrified and so excited every single day. I'm a combination of terrified and excited, which is just the best place to be in. And I saw three inherent gaps as it pertains to the way that organizations were, quote unquote, consuming technology. And where I spend the majority of my time is really the abundance of technology. Look, there's good tech and there's bad tech. And you'll never hear me say a disparaging word, but I definitely navigate towards technologies that have proven solutions, really great, strong integrations, good investment portfolios, and have a very clear roadmap for the future for themselves and for their customers. And what I saw is this great divide was the amount of technology, particularly for small and mid-sized firms that aren't going to have a VP of digital transformation or a VP of R&D, talent technology, all of these really robust sort of enterprise positions. I want innovation for all, because at the end of this, then we sometimes forget, is a candidate. And having been, you know, laid off and feeling this vulnerability and this powerlessness, we have to remember every single day when we get up, we are dealing with somebody that feels vulnerable, that feels emotional. You're essentially looking to strangers for acceptance. And so every technology that I'm looking at, every company that I'm engaging with, small and mid-sized companies, our focus is on candidate experience and ensuring that regardless of how much money you have to invest in tech, that we pick the best technology that will enhance the candidate experience at every point along the way. And so, you know, it's a sort of a two-pronged passion, if you will, and that's ensuring that we maintain the humanity of our industry. And secondly, that everyone has the opportunity to talk with a technology expert and really review the solutions that are out there that will fit with their core system, because there is no transformation without integration. I think I've said this on every podcast. So you can buy all the technology that you want, but if it's not plugged in and you don't have a, you know, a single source of truth, you're going to find yourself struggling with adoption. And if you're struggling with adoption, you're sort of wasting money. So the first was really this overabundance of technology that's out there and helping companies make good, intelligent decisions. The second was, you know, what I alluded to earlier, and that's road mapping and road mapping alignment for the short and long term. And we really want to ensure that you have a partner that you can engage and grow with, and that you have a unified sort of end goal. That road mapping alignment was the second gap that I saw, and one where I spend a lot of time. And then the third was in marketing the tech stack, which is a huge lost opportunity. We can't put out one press release and think that the whole world now knows that we're this really cool new agency. There are layers of marketing that I believe need to happen internally and externally to ensure that you not only have adoption, but you get your differentiators out there. Not everybody utilizes technology the same. So I've never been shy about saying what I've used, what I've had success with, because my secret sauce is the way that I use it. And that's why I love ClearEdge, right? We have the opportunity in a very small, inexpensive way to make profound marketing changes, to communicate how we are now different in leveraging technology.
Yeah, I would agree. I couldn't agree more, actually, that once you make that investment, it's so important to make sure all the key constituents are aware of it, whether that be internally or externally, and having a game plan. And unfortunately, too many people feel like, well, I'm making the investment in the technology or software and should be able to turn it on and get all of these results. And that's just not the case. So I know we're also working with the vendor partners to help them clearly communicate the value and need, because it benefits them as well. Once they're, you know, live with someone, they need to see the success for them to get the case studies that they want as well. So it's been really fun to partner with you on thinking through ideas in that regard. And I have to say, as a client of yours, so we were one of your first clients, I believe, and you helped us really look at our own tech stack. So I would say for anyone listening, while you specialize in the recruitment industry, you really dove in and helped us take a look as a marketing agency at all of our processes, whether it was, you know, working with our own team or our clients and really putting yourself in the shoes of each audience to make the best recommendations for us. And it was something that we gravely needed. And really, I'm thankful for the work that you did and the due diligence that you did to help set us on that next path. So super happy for you, Lauren. It feels like you are absolutely in the right place. And like you mentioned before, you started a new company during a pandemic. And while you weren't trying to downplay that a little bit, certainly there were some things that you had been through before that had prepared you for this. There's no doubt in that regard. I'm going to move on to a question. There's no question that 2020 has created new challenges in how we all live and work. For some, it's simply meant changing their location from the traditional office to the home office. For many others, however, it has meant figuring out what to do after a completely unexpected layoff. Seems like a perfect opportunity to consider a pivot of some kind, which we just talked about yours in detail. But Lauren, I have to say, you did a few things to really push yourself and bolster your personal brand, including a daily LinkedIn video, such as you've got Tech Tuesday, Thankful Thursday. My favorite is Women Crush Wednesday. So you basically reinvented yourself what seems like overnight. Share with us a little bit about your thought process and what you did to achieve that.
Yeah, I mean, 2020, I got to tell you, my first day of my firm, quote, you know, opening the doors, as it were, you know, this dramatic scene of opening my doors, really just turning my computer on. But it was March 3rd, and then March 9th was SIA. So I was like, I got this. Like, I had 18 appointments lined up. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to come out screaming hot, you know. I got the whole shot, you know, for those racing fans out there. I was going for it. And then, of course, the entire world shut down. So I'm going to be honest with everyone and say I spent all of March crying. So I had more than a boohoo moment. I had a boohoo month because I was so devastated because I thought that I had all of my ducks in a row and I had prepared well enough to be able to kind of pick up and move forward. So when you're faced with this, you can no longer go get in front of people, I had to get creative. And I knew a couple things. I knew LinkedIn was where I had the largest audience at the time, outside of Twitter. I have quite a following on Twitter, but it wasn't really the place or medium to put out video content. And Facebook is too personal to really get my message out. So I was like, all right, I'm going in. I'm going all in on LinkedIn. And I knew that video content at the time had significant value and significant click-through ratios, right? So I've done a ton of social marketing for companies in the past. And I absolutely know, like you know, that the likelihood of somebody opening your post when there's an image or a video, it, you know, goes up exponentially to the tune of oftentimes 50%. And then that rise inside my belly of wanting to have a voice, an unencumbered voice. And then the third thing that I figured out kind of personally was that it had to come from a place of giving, that if you start with giving, whether or not you get back in that moment, it will always be paid back to you. So I did the only thing that I really knew and felt confident about doing, and that was helping. And I, you know, over the course of making this personal transition, I've given a ton of time to charity. The National Charity League is one that's near and dear to my heart. It's a volunteer organization for mothers and daughters, creating a space where mothers and daughters can bond over philanthropy, entrepreneurship, teaching women how to use their entrepreneurial spirit and give back, young women as well. But I digress. I knew that video was where I wanted to be. And so I did the only thing I know how to do, and that was to give back to the community that at that time had been laid off in droves, right? 30 million people laid off. And so the first post that sort of went quote unquote viral was where I said, and this was, you know, mid-March, I would like to donate my time to give free resume advice, free interview advice, job seeking advice to those that have been impacted by COVID-19. And that post was shared, I think, 20,000 times. And so the response was so overwhelming. It literally took me all of March and April to get through the response from the job seekers. And it provided this opportunity to share what I know best, and that is, you know, how to help somebody navigate the job market in a more efficient way, leveraging pieces of technology, leveraging, you know, how to interview the right way, and essentially sort of changing the landscape of how you search for a job. We look for jobs in this really reactive way, I feel like, in that you're just looking at what's available as opposed to saying, this is where I want to work, and now I'm going to go pursue opportunities over there and have a more of a sales-minded approach. And that content provided this sort of practice ground, if you will, for the content that you see today. And I believe wholeheartedly that the fact that my videos are focused on as much as possible on giving back, that is a direct correlation to how well they do.
Well, I have to say, I think everyone had a very long boohoo march. However, what differentiates you, and this is something that Jess Elliott on our team, who you know really well, has recently been saying, is the only way to get through it is to do it. And the fact that you've committed every day to give back in that way, it isn't a small undertaking to just crank out a video and put it out there. You make it look so easy and so seamless. Lauren, I would have to ask, though, like during this whole process of kind of reinventing yourself, what did you learn about you during that process?
I have learned so much. My dad had the saying, you know, proper planning prevents poor performance. So I've always been a planner. Like, I mean, I had a birth plan. My dad calls it having your ducks in a row. Not only were my ducks in a row for my birth plan, and my daughter ended up being 2 weeks overdue. So my birth plan, you know, go ahead and burn that. So what I've learned is that throughout my life, I have planned to a fault. And my husband, who is this just beautiful counterbalance to me, he has build your wings on the way down. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, he just does. And, you know, there's some balance to that too, because you're bull in a china shopping it, right? It can be a little ungraceful. So I've tried to take what I see in my husband as just action over everything. I have learned so much about just executing and figuring it out along the way. You know, when you came to me and said, I'd like to put together a tech stack, what do you know about project management technology? And I was like, all of it, I got this, right? And then you study like a grad student to figure it out. You find out where the best matches are. It's just, you have to do. And this is me, the person who said that saying no taught me more than saying yes ever will. If it is in your lane, say yes. And that's really what I've learned about myself throughout the process is A, there is something to be said for planning. There is more to be said for doing. And then B, you just have to get uncomfortable, get sweaty and get uncomfortable and be okay. Like I said, I wake up terrified and excited every day and I am in a constant state of discomfort, but in a really cool way. I'm being challenged and asked to do things that I never in a million years would have thought that somebody would have asked me to do. Part of that is a confidence issue. The other part is, you know, get out of your own way. And what I've learned about myself is, you know, action always, and to just say yes if it's in your lane, you know, and get uncomfortable.
Well, welcome to being an entrepreneur. It is a constant state of being uncomfortable. And the second you want to celebrate, it's like, wait, is that other shoe going to drop? But you still have to celebrate. And there's a lot to celebrate with what you've been able to accomplish in such a short amount of time. That said, speaking of Tech Tuesday, Lauren, you've got like a long line of companies who have reached out to you and want you to take a look at their tech and feature them in Tech Tuesday. So you know just about all there is to know about recruitment technology. So I have to ask you, with everything that you've seen and what you know of our industry, what excites you most about our industry as it relates to technology?
Oh, so Tech Tuesday, Tech Tuesday and Women Crush Wednesday, almost every week we're trending. And that hashtag is trending, and large in part because, I was very thoughtful about the hashtags that I chose and the direction that I wanted to take it. The other side of my firm is not just helping agencies, recruitment and staffing agencies, but the other side of my firm is also helping software companies with, their value prop, poking holes in the UI, looking at the way that they're integrated and if it's functional. So I'm definitely doing a lot with software, but Tech Tuesday was this beautiful merge of this voracious appetite that our industry has to talk like a normal person about technology. And that's really what I try to do every Tech Tuesday is break it down to the ridiculous, because your average consumer is just your average person who started a firm and has had some good success and is now looking to invest back in their business. They're not technologists, they're not Java developers or developers in general. And so what I try and do every Tuesday is break it down so you understand why you might need programmatic. I mean, I really tried to break something as complex as programmatic job distribution down to the this is why it could help you save a ton of money. And what excites me right now in our industry, the level of innovation that is going on right now is mind-blowing to me. And I've had two technologies where I was like, bleh. I mean, just my mind was blown because the creativity that goes into, and I'm always going to get excited about a technology that does everything it can to make it easy for the consumer, for the user, and that is our job-seeking candidates. And so any technology that is going out of their way to put the power in the candidate's hand, those are the technologies that I get excited about. I'm really excited about on-demand as this wonderful complement to this white glove service that we can give on the professional services side, and on demand helping you augment your business in a way that is not only sustainable, but adaptable and really, really fun for the end user to have control of their life. And that's right now, I think the reason you're seeing this on demand explosion going on is because people feel out of control. Being laid off is a really, I say the word helpless, it's a helpless feeling. And when you can put the power of being employed in somebody's hands through a mobile device, I think that there is nothing, nowhere for us to go except for up. And I think those that don't embrace it and are fighting it, I think those are going to be the firms that go away in a very slow, way, because I think that people are just thirsty for the control that they need to sort of own their own destiny.
Well, you certainly can hear the passion in your voice the second you start talking about technology and the industry and the candidate experience and all of the wonderful things that are out there. So I appreciate that. That means you are loving what you do. So speaking of which, you often talk about finding your fire or searching for your spark. Tell us what you mean by that and how it applies to you today.
So we've all had a moment, I know we have, where maybe you got up in front of two people and you gave a bomb speech, or you have that moment. Everyone has a moment where they finish doing something. Maybe it's on your Peloton where you just had like an amazing PR. And it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't drop a Peloton in there. But everyone has had a moment where they walk away and they're like, I was pretty friggin' awesome just then, right? Everyone and has an experience like that in their life, I feel like. Regardless of whatever time and space it happens in your life, I know you can go back to a moment where you felt awesome and you felt like you did something in a really incredible way. And I have been on this chase to continue to find that spark. And that's what I call the spark. You have that moment where you walked away and you're like, I'm amazing. And so I'm just continually chasing that to the point where I just want to fan the flames and be awesome all the time, because I feel like that's what it's leading to. But finding that spark is really finding what warms your belly, what gets you a little bit nervous, a little bit excited, a little bit sweaty, a little bit uncomfortable. I've said before, Hot Mess Express versus Sally Safety. And that was me in kind of a nutshell. nutshell. And so where do I find a little bit of middle ground? And when I've found that middle ground is when I've found that little point of awesomeness. And now I'm just trying to do more to perpetuate that. And that's the finding your spark, doing more of what makes you feel good. And if it's speaking in front of people, awesome. Do more of it. Find a way to get in front of a video camera. Go speak at church. Go talk to your women's group. Heck, get five friends together and give them a TED talk, because that is where I think this search for fulfillment from a career perspective, if you can find that spark and fan the flames of that spark, you will be on fire.
I always love your sayings, Hot Mess Express, Sally Safety. One other I want to point out, you mentioned, you know, there's planning and then there's more to be said for doing. And so many people, Lauren, talk about, I want to write a book or I want to start my own company and all of these things, but then there's excuse after excuse as to why it doesn't happen. Or I see this a lot with people who have a business idea and they plan it to death and then they never get it to launch. So your action statement really stood out to me that yes, you can plan and there's got to be a market need and all of these other things. But at the end of the day, if you're going to do it, you've got to take action. So, you know, when you talk to people as well, for many, corporate life, it's all that they know. So I guess just real quickly, what advice would you offer to someone thinking about striking out on their own?
It was very funny. I think it was you who made an introduction to a young woman that was in corporate life. You or one of the Clear Edge team made an introduction and, you know, she's starting to put some feelers out there and starting to sort of explore what the possibility of doing something on her own would mean. And look, entrepreneurship is not for those with a weak stomach, because, you know, I had my first punch in the gut a couple weeks ago. In the same day, lost my biggest account, 2 days later, got it back. It was for no other reason except for, you know, paperwork error. But that kind of punch to the gut, you have to be able to take that, take it over and over, and be able to go, all right, I just got kicked in the stomach, but it's all right, I got this, and move on. So for anybody that is looking to do it, I would say just do it. Don't overplan it. Don't create a business plan. If you are trying to help someone, if you have something that solves a problem for someone, if you have a product that solves a problem for someone right now, problem resolution is everything that owners, entrepreneurs, investment firms are putting money towards: technology, people, and firms that solve problems. So I think if you have something that you think solves a problem, then you have to pursue it, and you have to pursue it with everything that you are. And even if it's in your spare time, look, if you need the safety net of the corporate paycheck, okay. I think that it's okay. And as a matter of fact, Sarah Blakely, the CEO of Spanx, says, do it in your spare time until you can make it your full-time career. Baby steps are okay. And this is where I get a little bit frustrated with some of the career sharks out there. Just do it. Don't be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. It's totally human to be afraid. And baby steps are perfectly acceptable as long as you don't spend the rest in perpetuity in baby steps, right? At some point, you have to swallow the fear and just jump off the diving board and into the cold water. But we tend to go from one extreme to the next. And that is where I think that it's okay. And this is the advice that I gave the woman that came to me, was that it is perfectly acceptable to take daily steps towards your end goal. But you have to know, and I think this is where people go wrong. Where do you want your firm to be in 5 years? I know where I want it to be next year, and I know where I want it to be the year after that. That's about as far as I can take it. And for me, that is perfectly acceptable. And I'm not going to be hard on myself about that, because I don't have a 5-year business plan. And for me, I feel like that is perfectly acceptable. So I'd say be kind to yourself throughout this process, because people tend to beat themselves up before they've even gotten in the ring.
I agree. Well, and to your point, you got to put yourself in the ring to make it happen. And every business is different. You know, whether you're a consulting firm, a software company, product company, services industry, staffing company, everything that we do is a little bit different. Yes, there are some basic business fundamentals that don't change. But at the end of the day, you've got to manage, when you're an entrepreneur, your business for what's right for you and the market opportunity that's in front of you. And you're in a space, Lauren, that changes all the time. All of the new tools and technologies that you're looking at weren't even around 2, 3, 4, or 5 years ago. So it's really hard to have a plan when what's ahead of you could be changing so rapidly. And you even know with your own company, and I know with ours, with digital and online and now the pandemic, there's just so many changes to the way we work and do business that we've all had to really look at what we're doing and how we can deliver and meet our clients in the industry at their need. With that, I'm going to shift gears here on us a moment to bring us home on something that is really important, I know, to both of us, and something that I've been really fortunate to partner with you on as of late. So certainly a silver lining coming out of the past several months is the time that we've been able to spend together really working with and rising up women in the recruitment industry. You know, you're a huge proponent. You're driving so many initiatives. It could be a book club. It could be ASA's Women in Leadership. You've got a lot of projects and initiatives, and you even have forged partnerships and friendships with authors who you just felt like, gosh, maybe they could speak to our group. And you never know. If you don't ask, you don't get yes. And sure enough, people say yes to you. So I guess I would ask you, with all of the work and the time that you're giving back to help so many women, what is that drive within you, Lauren, to give back in such a commanding way?
Oh, you, when I read this question, I actually teared up a little bit, because you can learn as much from amazing mentors and amazing people in your life about what to do as you can learn about what not to do. And in 22 years, I can name really two women that had a positive impact on my career. And I feel like that is so out of balance. In 22 years, there were two women that supported me in a profound, actionable way. And I just refuse. I refuse to be a part of the problem. I refuse. Let me say it again. I refuse to be a part of the problem. Women versus women is why men still run the world, and I'm just not going to partake in it. So I am going to do everything that I can to crush on women, to uplift women, to celebrate their successes, to share a post, to share an event, to buy a book. You know, I did a pre-read on Erica Keswin's book, author of Bring Your Human to Work. Women are friggin' amazing, and we need to celebrate one another. And so anything that I can do, large or small, I am going to do that. And I just refuse to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. There's a saying that, and I just read a blog about it, you know, you teach people how to treat you. We need to teach the world how to treat us. And we need to teach one another how to treat us as women. So I'm going to do everything that I can to reteach our world how to embrace one another. In my article, there are chapters dedicated to women versus women. And I say, why don't we not talk about that and talk about how we fix it and how we band together arm in arm and lift one another up. And so that's where that fire comes from, 22 years of having two people that I can really put my finger on that made an impact. And I just think it's wildly imbalanced. And so I don't want to see that for another woman.
Lauren, that, like, it saddens me and shocks me at the same time. Because knowing you so well at this stage in your career, I'm always amazed at how many wonderful women you and I are connected to in the industry who we never knew as we were growing up in our 20 yeah. plus years in the industry.
Crazy, right?
And I'm so grateful that we all were able to kind of band together now at this stage and really help and rise each other up. And I could not agree with you more. If anything, I hope that the up-and-comers really see how we all help and support each other. And there's a saying, if you can see it, you can be it. I hope they truly see and learn from, to your point, the Women Crush Wednesday and everything else that, you know, we're trying to do as an industry to rise each other up, that they see there's a reason and purpose behind that. And I'm just so thrilled that you're doing that. And by the way, you're surrounded with so many men and women, people who are willing to do anything for you. And a big piece of that you mentioned was, you know, you really found your voice and you've built your brand and you've put yourself out there and you're willing to be uncomfortable. You're willing to be hot mess express some days and, you know, put yourself out there, sweating it out, as you said.
Yeah.
Peloton or not, but you know, being able to see you do that and learn from you has been great for us in the industry to see as well. So I love that that's what's driving you, and I agree we need to make change on that front for sure. So aside from, of course, the GOAT Leadership blog that you have and all of the wonderful videos and content that you put on LinkedIn, Lauren, I just have to say, first of all, thank you for sharing your story and such great advice. You've given all of us a lot to think about. Aside from those other resources, if someone's listening to the podcast and they'd like to connect with you, what is your preferred method of outreach?
Oh my goodness. You can get me anywhere. There's a link on www.goatleadership.com, www.leapconsulting.com. I have a YouTube channel, lauren@leapconsultingsolutions.com. I give out my phone number, 916-995-6390. You want to text me, go ahead. I try and make myself, I have a Calendly that goes by the same name. I try and make it so, and to my detriment, I ended up working a couple 18-hour days and we're like, I think I need to lock my calendar down. So, you know, these are the things that you learn as an entrepreneur, but I make no secret that if you have a question, if you want a little bit of advice, I want to help. I am okay working for my work. I am okay giving out a ton of free advice to make sure that we as an industry can continue to treat one another with kindness and lift one another up. And so reach out to me. I'm happy to help.
Well, terrific. Thank you, Lauren. I knew it would be a fun podcast with you here today. So thank you. I know you say yes to a lot of things and you need to protect your calendar, but I really appreciate you saying yes when I asked you to speak with us today. And thank you to all of our listeners who joined us as well.
Thank you so much, Leslie, and to the entire ClearEdge team for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest, or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.